Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
I want to welcome everybody here in the sanctuary, and if you're joining us online or in the cafe, today's an exciting day because we're starting a brand new six-week series called Beyond. And I'll explain what that means a little bit more. We're going to have a rich time in the Word of God. There are some Beyond study guides that are available, and you can get one in the lobby. Of course, we always provide free of charge the handouts that are here week by week, and that can help you in your study. But we'd love nothing more than for you to either lead or be a part of a small group during this series and gather your friends and families together, people you haven't seen for a while, bring them together in your home, go through the study. You can watch a video clip as a kind of an icebreaker to start your group off, and then follow the study guide, and people are getting into the Word of God this way, and it's very rich. So we love that very much. And the basic message of this series is what Christ has come to do for us. He's come to bring us, he's a beyond God who's come to bring us beyond our problems into a beyond life. Does that sound good to you guys? I believe that's going to build our faith, and we're going to see God greater and stronger. And we can't focus too much on that, I promise you. But before I get into the message, I want to share a few things with you just about our church and where we're going over the next 90 days, 120 days, and into our future, because God is taking us into some beyond places. I said to the first service, if you're looking for a nice, calm church where no risks are taken and no effort is being made to reach people, you're in the wrong place this morning. But if you are in a place where you'd like to be involved with a people, if you'd like to be involved with taking some risks for God and doing great things to reach people, then you are, I believe, in exactly the right place this morning. First thing I want to share with you is we got a new book coming out. The book is called Beyond. It's the story of how we got to where we are as a church and what the Lord is telling us next, and what the next exciting chapter and next season of our vision together is like. It's a beautiful book, and it'll be ready in less than a month. So we want you to get a copy of it. Now, why would you want to have this book? So that you could understand the vision of Gateway and where we're going in the future. It's just a small book. It's 106 pages. But you're going to journey through the pages of Scripture to understand what God wants to do in reaching people, His marvelous love, His power that's available, and also where this particular church is headed in terms of being one church in many locations. This book is a vision for 10 cities. And I believe that we're going to touch 10 cities, and God's going to help us. Can I have an amen this morning? So that's coming. The other thing that's coming is, I think you've got this on the chair next to you. That is our beautiful conference that we do every year. This one is a very special conference, the Inspire Leadership Conference, because it is the first year that we will be bringing all of our campuses. You know, we're one church in four locations now. We have a Gateway campus in Clovis, California, Santa Rosa, California, and Modesto, California, as well as San Jose. All of our churches will be coming together for a day and a half of food and spiritual food and rejoicing and tremendous worship. And it's going to be like nothing you've ever seen before. So please save the date for yourself. And there's going to be free food. The whole conference is free. It's going to be a big party and a big celebration. But we do ask that if you're planning to come, that you would register, because we want to have a hot dog for you. No, it's going to be better than a hot dog. We're going to have food for you, and so we need to know that you're coming. So please take a look at the brochure and join us on October 20th and 21st for our conference. The theme is one, because we are four congregations that are really actually one church in many cities. And then one last thing that's coming in October, I want to look way ahead to next month, toward the end of the month, a very special day. I'd love for you to mark your calendars to be here. October 29th is Vision Sunday. And we're going to tell the story of Gateway and where we came from. And we're going to tell the story again of where we're going. And we're going to clarify the vision for you on Vision Sunday. And also invite you in the time period between that day, Vision Sunday, October 29th, and Thanksgiving Sunday, we're going to have a special season of giving toward the vision. So we want to let you know what you have the opportunity to give toward our expansion and reaching other cities. And we're excited to be able to share all of that with you in the near future. You'll be getting more information about our book and our conference and Vision Sunday and the Beyond offering that's coming. It's all coming together for you over the next few weeks, so pay attention, all right? All right, how many are ready for the Word of God? I got a message straight from the Bible, and let me tell you, it's going to lift your heart. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Can we read this out loud together? Let's get our Sunday voice on and read the Word of God. Here we go. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are... What? Far what? Beyond anything you could imagine. Keep going. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God says, I'm beyond. I'm beyond where you're living. I'm beyond where you're thinking. And you haven't yet imagined what I can do for you. This morning, I want to talk to you about the beyond God, the God who cannot be limited, the God who cannot be contained, the God who cannot be stopped. Now, one of the things I want to say to us is that God cannot be measured. You know, human beings have developed all kinds of systems for measuring units. We can measure distance, like with inches, millimeters. What do we have? We have foots. We have feet, I should say. Yeah, we measure things in foots. We have yards, we have miles. So we can measure distance. We can measure time from centuries and millennia all the way down to a second or a fraction of a second. One fraction of a second they talk about is a nanosecond, which is 1/1,000,000th of a second. And a guy came up to me after the first service, and he said, they've even split the nanosecond into picoseconds, which I think a nanosecond is 1/1,000,000,000 of a second, and a picosecond, I think, is 1/1,000,000,000 of a billionth, and that can actually be measured. We can measure weight, although we don't want to. We don't like that at all, except when it's going in the right direction. All right? We can measure temperature. You know, blazing hot temperatures like we've had here in California over the last few weeks. We can go all the way down to absolute zero. Absolute zero, I found out, is about 460 degrees negative Fahrenheit. That's called absolute zero. And they can measure that. That's cold. We can even measure spiciness. How many here like some Mexican food? You like a little heat on your... Do I have any curry lovers in the house? How many like curry? All right, curry is awesome. And I like it hot. And they have a scale for measuring the spiciness of a pepper. It's actually called the Scoville scale because it's very important to know how hot the raging inferno that is in your mouth is causing your eyes. It's important to know exactly how hot that is. So if you start with a very mild pepper, an ingredient in peppers called capsaicin, right? So you can measure how intense the capsaicin is, and that relates to the spiciness of the food. So if you start at the weakest possible pepper, which is called a pimento, it's got, let's see, I have this written down. The pimento pepper registers from 100 to 500 on the Scoville scale. But if you go to the cayenne pepper, it jumps to 30, 40, or 50,000 units on the Scoville scale. A habanero pepper. Now you're talking, right? 300,000 on the Scoville scale. And in case you were wondering, law enforcement pepper spray, which I pray none of you will ever be exposed to. Law enforcement pepper spray is 5 million. Scoville units. You do not want to get that in your face, all right? So all these things can be measured. But you know what can't be measured? God can't be measured. No matter how you would try, you could not create a system that could weigh, measure, define, or describe the greatness of God because he is beyond. In a word, what I'm talking about is that God is transcendent. And this morning I want to talk about the transcendence of God. And it's going to stretch your mind a little bit. We're going to talk about things, and it's a stretch me as a speaker because my job today is to try to describe what is indescribable. It's not so easy. But the Word of God is going to help us, and we're going to understand some qualities of God that define him as a beyond God, a transcendent God, meaning that God goes way past anything we have ever imagined. There's not a box that God can fit in, that God is so far beyond everything else, and it cannot be quantified even how great he is. He is utterly transcendent above all creation. He is the beyond God. Now, what does the transcendence of God look like? There was a church father, two church fathers I want to introduce you to. One was Gregory of Nyssa, great theologian in about the fourth century. And he was talking about the greatness of God and the transcendence of God. And he said, it's so hard to describe the transcendence of God. And most people don't want to look at how transcendent God is. He said, imagine you were on the edge of a precipice. There was a protrusion from a cliff, kind of like I'm standing on right here. Only instead of looking down and seeing the floor, you can't see anything because the distance goes on forever. And you come to the edge of this, and you look, and there's nothing to grab onto, and there's nothing that is familiar to you. All you see is this huge transcendent void. Your natural reaction would be to step back because you can't handle not seeing something to grab onto. And what he said is when we try to describe and define the transcendence of God, it actually freaks us out a little bit. If we were to be able to truly measure how great God is and what he wants to do in our lives, it causes like a natural drawing back in us. But I want us to push ourselves a little bit today. I want us to push ourselves kind of to the limit here to peer, even though it makes us nervous and it makes us uncomfortable, to peer into the greatness of God. Because once we understand the greatness of God, we can understand where he wants to take us in life. Small God, small life. Great God, great life. How many want a great life? I can remember, is Grant Gordon in this service? I never liked Grant. He was the one that got us all together for a skydiving exposition. Actually, it was the Lyft group. How many of you guys were in that skydiving? None of you, because you actually think. You stop and you think, and so you don't jump out of planes. This was about 4 years ago, I suppose, and Grant put together a skydiving expedition. And, you know, skydiving's unique. I'd never done it before, but I thought, hey, I'm up to try that. I'm ready to have an adventure and go to the edge. Well, I didn't know how close to the edge I was going to be. So we get in this plane, and I'm being very polite. You know, I'm letting everybody get on before us. We got our, you know, and I'm the last person to get on the plane. And this plane that's going to go up, I don't know, I think it's 8 or 10,000 feet. I forget where your first jump is from, but it's high. It's too far. This plane, these planes that do these skydiving, they don't have doors. They have a hole in the side of the plane, which seems so wrong to me, that you have a hole in an airplane that you cannot close. So I got on the last, and I'm literally on the edge of the floor of the plane. If you could see this, I'm on the edge of the floor of the plane. This is nothingness out here, and I'm literally here because I'm the last person to get on. So we take off and we go up, and I'm holding on to people around me, and there's not chairs, it's just a slippery floor. That also seems wrong. A slippery floor. And we're sitting, and it was kind of an agonizing experience, to be honest. I couldn't wait to jump. Really, I couldn't wait to jump because the tension of being on the edge was difficult. Here's safety, here is sure death, right? And I'm sitting right there, and the plane now is, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 feet, whatever it is, they go up. And finally, I'm the first person to jump with the guy that was attached to me, because I'm not totally crazy. There's a jump instructor attached to me. And we go over the edge, and we experience, and we landed safe, and here I am today, all right? But that tension of being on the edge of something so big that it humbles you. You're on the edge of something so huge, so overwhelming, so beyond anything you've ever experienced, and there's a desire to pull back. The reason I'm telling you this story is because I think that's what a lot of us do with God. We sort of instinctively know how heavy, how awesome, how enormous, how huge He is. And our instinct as human beings is to pull back and find a safe place. The only problem is, the more we cling to safety, the less we experience what God has for us. And today I want to throw out a challenge. I want to throw out a challenge to push you a little bit closer to the edge of something that you have never experienced before. That you would be willing to say, God, I'm not just going to find safety in my life. I want to experience everything that you have for me. I believe God is calling us to the edge where we could look and see how great and how incredible He is. And if we can see how great and how incredible He is, it will change the way we live and what we experience. How many of you believe that you were born to experience God? Amen. Now, that means I don't want to just know God. I don't want to just read about God. I just want to learn some things about God. I want to experience God. We were worshiping God. I was experiencing God this morning. And every time we come to church, we should be engaging in the experience of God's presence. What that does for us is it brings us to a place of greater faith and greater experience. And to experience the transcendence of God, we've got to understand His Word and what the Bible teaches us about His Word. And there's one more church father I told you that I was going to tell you about, and that is Augustine, who said this. He said, if you could understand it, it would not be God. So in essence, what I'm challenging us to do is to come to the edge of things we don't understand and experience it. And experience for ourselves exactly what God has for us. Let me share four things about the beyond God that are on your teaching outline. And if you're watching this at home, you can grab this teaching guide called Beyond and begin your small group right now. Go through these four aspects of God's greatness. Number one, I say God is beyond because He is beyond our natural world. I think it goes without saying that, you know, we understand we live in a natural world. There's mountains and buildings and atoms and natural laws and, you know, nature and all of that, that God is beyond that. You can't see God. You can't touch God. You can't visibly notice God. If you come to church looking for God, I came to church to meet God. Where is He? You won't find Him, right? Because He's outside of our natural world. He's beyond. Jesus described this in John chapter 4. He said, God is a spirit. He exists in a totally different dimension, a totally different plane of reality than what we are experiencing. And that plane, that place where God lives, is beyond the limitations of physical law. Now, you and I, we can know the physical world around us through our senses. If we can hear it, or see it, or taste it, or touch it, somehow sense it, somehow physically feel it, then we know it's real. The problem with people is they can't touch, hear, sense, or see God, who is a spirit. And so they say, well, then it's not for me. It doesn't seem real to them. But that's because God is beyond. And you wouldn't want a God that was limited. You would want a God that is beyond. The miracle is this, guys. Even though you can't see a spirit, you can't touch a spirit, through the power of Jesus Christ and the miracle of the Holy Spirit, that which is beyond you, which is God, beyond your senses, you can actually dip in through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to experience God. God wants you to experience Him. The only way you can experience God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has built a bridge from the unseen world, the natural world, into our reality. And so if I want to know God, I can through Christ. and that miracle of the Holy Spirit that we felt this morning as we worshiped. And if we will, if we'll push ourselves a little bit, again, the things of the Holy Spirit, some people say, whoa, I don't know. I don't want to go there. That seems kind of heavy for me. And yet God is saying, come closer to the edge. Come to the edge of something you don't understand and begin to experience it. Because if you come to the edge of it, you can start to experience something that is a little bit beyond you. God is beyond our natural world. Number two, he is beyond distance and space. God is beyond the physical universe and all of its laws. When you talk about the universe, it's hard to imagine how big the universe is. I've got a penny here in my pocket, and I was asking the first service, this is actually Mae Bennett's penny. Remind me to give it back to her. I said, does anybody have a penny? Mae brought me a penny. And I said, how big is the universe? Scientists argue this point. One thing they know for sure, that the universe itself is expanding larger and larger. So wherever you think the edge of the universe is, which nobody knows, it's moving rapidly away from us. But one way to understand how big the universe is, it would be to shrink our sun, our sun in the middle of our solar system, shrink it to the size of a penny. If you could take that enormous object, the sun, and shrink it to the size of a penny, our nearest star, which is Alpha Centauri, would still be 350 miles away. That's if you could shrink the whole solar system down to the size where the sun is a penny. And 350 miles away would be Alpha Centauri. And at this scale, the Milky Way galaxy, which is just one galaxy in an unknown number of galaxies that are in the universe, at that scale, our galaxy would still be 7.5 million miles wide if the sun was just the size of a penny. And of course, we know from the Hubble telescope that there are untold numbers of galaxies beyond just our galaxy. My point, guys, is this natural world that is so huge, nobody even knows how big it is. And yet, the psalmist was able to say, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? In other words, God is everywhere. And if you think space is big, imagine how big God is. Because he fills every space that there is. God is omnipresent. That means he's present everywhere. So when I say to you, God is beyond, that doesn't mean God is far away. What it means is God is filling all of space and all of time. There is nowhere that you can go that God isn't already there. People say to me, I don't feel God. I don't know where he is. I don't know where was God when I was a child and terrible things were happening to me. Where was God when I needed him? I feel like he's a million miles away from me. And what I want to tell you is there's not one atom in the universe that God is not present to. And he is right where you are. He's so close. Even though he's beyond, he's so close to you right now that you can reach out literally and access his nearness. One of the great mysteries of God is the fact that he is everywhere, but he is present right here. He is present right with you right now. He is the beyond God, and he is near us in Christ. Hallelujah. All right, here's the third piece of this. Are you getting dizzy on the edge here a little bit? I'm trying to push you toward the edge. I'm trying to push you where you say, I don't think like this. We need to start thinking like this because it's going to change how we live. It's going to change how we experience life. The third piece of this is that God is beyond earthly knowledge. He's beyond earthly knowledge. We live in a day when knowledge and data is increasing. They talk about the information age, but they talk about now the age that we're going into is the knowledge age. Because the more data that we have, the more information that we have, the greater the desire is there to codify it and understand it and make sense of it so that we can know and experience more. We've got our students here, our high school and junior high school students, and I want to give you guys a quiz to see if you can help me out with some numbers here. Let's talk about the internet, for example, because the internet is the container of so much knowledge, and it is growing day by day in massive ways. Does anybody in the auditorium know how many tweets take place every day on the internet? Anybody got any ideas? Students? 500 million tweets every day. All right, Facebook posts for those that are older. Facebook messages every day. 4.3 billion Facebook messages every day. 5.75 billion Facebook likes every day. And for those that are on Instagram, which is way better than Facebook, I am told, 3.6 billion Instagram likes every day. That's a lot of knowledge, guys. All right, let's talk YouTube. We're talking the internet. Don't get nerded out, okay? I'm going somewhere with this. How much video content is uploaded to the internet every day? How much video content is uploaded to the internet every day? Does anybody have a guess? 4 million hours a day of videos uploaded. And how about emails? Are you getting your gateway emails? Are you reading your gateway emails? We actually know when you're not. Email is not going away. In fact, email is growing. Every day, 205 billion emails are sent. And in 2 years, the number is expected to be 246 billion emails a day. So your email box is going to get fuller. By the way, read your gateway emails. We work hard on those. All that incredible knowledge, all that incredible data and information, and yet, Hebrews 4:13, there is nothing that can be hidden from God. That is a drop in the bucket in terms of what God knows and what he understands. That's one day, 1 year. The internet is nothing compared to the mind of God. And the Bible says there's nothing that can be hid from him, and everything in all of creation is exposed and lies open before his mind. He can sense all of that. He knows all of it. He knows every like. He knows every message. He knows every thought of your heart. He knows every hair that is on your head. And for some of you, that's an easy count, I must say. For others, right? He knows your every thought before you think them. He knows you're depressed. He knows if you're anxious. He knows your thoughts from afar, David said. God, you know my every thought. I tell you, our awe and wonder and love of God, and you think about how vast and how powerful he is, and someday we're going to give an account of our lives to him, right? Day of judgment. And then because of the grace of Christ, he's going to say to us, enter thou into the joy of my presence. You've served me. You've received my son, Jesus, as your Savior. I've washed away your sins. Now enter into heaven. And even in heaven, we're not going to have a grip on the beyond God. You'd think, well, one day when I get to heaven, I'll understand it all. I'll understand everything. We won't even begin to understand what God has done in heaven. In fact, heaven is going to be a constant learning experience of getting more and more knowledge of God. Every single day, every single hour, we're going to see something new about God that we hadn't seen before, and we'll never stop worshiping him. We'll never stop praising him. God will never get old, even in heaven, because he's going to continue to reveal himself to us. I tell you, our God is beyond. And there's one last thing I want to say about the beyond nature of God. Number four, he is beyond all impossibility. He's beyond our impossibility. Luke 1:37, if you're facing an impossibility, be encouraged today. Be lifted up, because Luke 1:37 says that with God, nothing is what? Impossible. There's a quality of God that theologians call omnipotence. That means he has what no one else has. No devil has it. No angel has it. Unlimited power. He has all authority, all command over all things at all times, in all ways. He has incomprehensible power, inexhaustible power, and all ability that is absolute and exclusive to him alone. Only God has all of that power. And here's the mind blower. If you have Christ in your life, all of that power is available to you. Now, I'm talking to us today about a life that goes beyond, because we have a God that goes beyond. Tiny God, tiny life. Beyond God, you have a beyond life. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, that's a statement of a person who's come to the edge. That's a statement of a person who has experienced something that is a little bit nerve-wracking, but he's stepped into that new dimension, that higher dimension, where he's begun to experience the unbelievable power of God. And he was able to say, I can do all things through Christ. Are you able to say that way? Are you able to live that way? That power is available to you because God is all powerful. We serve a great and awesome God. And I pray we never lose the wonder of serving him. Romans 11 says this, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths, what does it say? Beyond tracing out. He's the beyond God. I pray that we will never lose the wonder of knowing him, experiencing him, and worshiping him. So this brings us to a point in the message that I view as the so what. Okay, I've given you four facts about God. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he knows all things, etc., etc. What does that mean for our lives? Because in about 15 minutes, we're going to walk out of this room. And we're going to face what we're facing at work. We're going to face our family situations, the walls that we seem to be hitting, the difficulties that we're experiencing at work or at home or with our physical health. So what does the fact that God is transcendent, how does that change our world as we raise our children and try to live for God in Silicon Valley? Simply this, that if you serve a transcendent God, you can live a transcendent life. You can live a life that's beyond what you're living right now. Here's the problem. We draw back from the edge. We say, it's too much, it's too big, it's too, and so we don't experience that. And I want to challenge you, if you're playing it safe, to take a step in the direction of God. Make a decision today to live a life that is greater, that is available to you, that is greater than the life that you are experiencing now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. Let me run you through a few verses, and then we're going to pray together. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and sealed him, or seated him, in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power that is available to those who believe. Can I ask you, do you believe him and do you trust him today? Because we say, well, let me understand God and then I'll trust him. But the verse says, if you trust him, then you'll understand him. First, you make the decision to trust, and then you experience his power. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7, it says, and God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him. That's a beyond place. God has raised us up in Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he may show the incomparable, that is the beyond riches of his power, riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Think about this beyond God as a kind God, a God that could crush you and me if he wanted to, but has been so kind to love us, to send his son to save us. The incredible kindness of God If you came wondering, what does God think about me? He loves you. And he wants to be close to you. And he wants to bring you into a life you've never known. No matter what you're facing today, God's transcendence matters in two ways. Number one, he'll take you beyond your impossibilities. And if you're facing a tough brick wall, if you're facing a situation that you never thought you'd be facing, I want to encourage you today. Now unto him who by the power that is working within us is able to do far what? Beyond what we ask or think. He's the beyond God. And you might be facing an impossibility or a difficulty, as I am, facing something with my parents that I love very much. They're in a situation, and I said to Kathy on the way to church today, I don't know how this ends. I don't see the plan here. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. I'm powerless with this. There's no button I can push. There's no way I can fix this. I don't know what the plan is here, but I trust God to be able to work in their lives. So I'm claiming this for myself this morning, because I see walls and I see impossibilities and I see situations that I don't know how they're going to work out. But then I say, wait a minute, God is able to go beyond what I see. Exceedingly abundantly beyond. Here's the other piece of this that I want to share with you before we pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Can we read this together? Philippians 4, verse 7. And God's peace, come on everybody, God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Jesus Christ. We all experience things in life that rob us of our peace. So where do we get peace? You get peace from the beyond God. The God who's beyond what you can imagine, beyond your plan, beyond your ability to fix it, and you receive peace directly from him. He's big enough to give you peace today. Can I ask you a question? Are you trusting him? Are you trusting him right now with what you're going through? Everything's changed. Nothing's the way you imagined it would be. Would you be willing to say, Lord, I'm on the edge here, and I'm ready to experience something that I haven't experienced before. I'm going to put my trust in you, and I give you my life. How many would be willing to do that? All right, bow your heads. Let me pray for you. We're going to close the service. Lord Jesus, I'm asking that you will reveal yourself. I've kind of struggled clumsily through this message to somehow bring clarity to how big you are, but Lord, it's pathetically inadequate, because you are so far beyond. But Lord, I thank you also that through the Holy Spirit, we can begin to experience what we cannot understand. I pray, Lord, over the next few weeks, as we dive in to your nature and who you are in our lives, it'll change the way we think and change the way we live. You are an awesome God, Father. We thank you, Lord. Just heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if I'm connecting with anybody today. Somebody came in upset, discouraged, fearful, nervous, and somehow you got a little piece of the call to trust him. You got a little closer to wanting to say, God, I'm going to trust you. If that's you, if you came today just needing a word, and you're ready to trust the Lord a little bit more in your life, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. Pastor, that message was for me. I'm going to take a step toward God. I want to get out of my safety zone. Dozens and dozens of hands. I thank God for each of you, and I love each of you very much. I'm so glad that when you came, God spoke to you. There may be others in this room that, as I spoke about Jesus and his saving power, his ability to deliver from sin, his ability to wash away our past and give us an unlimited beyond future, you thought, man, I'd love to have that. I don't have it in my life. I'm not saved. I don't know who Jesus is, but I want to. I want to give you just a moment before we close this service, give you the opportunity to invite Christ into your life. Just to say, Lord, I invite you into my world. Please help me. Save me. Forgive me. Deliver me. And if that's you, and you want Christ to come into your life, I'd like to pray for you. I believe a miracle, something powerful can happen. I would never embarrass you. And this is going to be between you and God, but I want to pray for you. And if that's you, I want you to lift your hand and let me pray for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lift your hand, say, Pastor David, pray for me. I need to give my life to Christ. I see you, sir. I see you also, sir. I see two people to my left. Thank you for that. I see two people in the right at the back. Thank you for that, sir. I see your hand also. Probably about 8 or 9. I see you, sweetheart. I see your hand. Yeah. God sees that. So I'm going to pray for you. Probably about 10 people raising their hands right now. Father, I pray for your grace, Lord, and your power to take us beyond our past, beyond our sins, into something brand new through Christ. Break the power of sin. Break the power of our past, Lord, and bring us all the way into the kingdom of God where we can know you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone, just look at me. 10 people lifted their hands to the Lord. Can we thank God for that? Come on. I never lost that feeling. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, I invited him in, and boy, did it change me. I want to pray with all of us before we go. This prayer is going to be like the railroad tracks that kind of guide us into the fullness of this message. For those of you that raised your hands, rededicating your life to the Lord or taking a step toward God, I'd love to know what decision you're making today. There's a card you heard about earlier in the service that says, I've decided. It'd be great for you to take a moment right now and just fill that card out and say, I'm receiving Christ as my Savior. And we're going to say a prayer, and they're going to put the prayer up on the screen. And then we're going to worship for a few minutes, and I pray the wonder of God will fill your heart as we worship this morning. I pray that if you came in discouraged, that thing will be broken as you worship before you go today. We're going to say a prayer right now, all of us out loud. And we're going to receive Christ and open our hearts to the next level of faith and trust in him. Let's pray together. Father God, I praise you. Come on, everyone. I praise you because you are transcendent. The only one that can save me. Stand with me and give me peace. Today, I choose to trust in your power as never before. Take me beyond my failures and impossibilities and teach me to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe the power of God is being released to your life in a brand new way. And you're getting ready to go beyond. Now, don't be nervous. Stay at the edge. Don't pull back. Let's go forward. Amen. And let's experience everything that God has for us. We're going to worship. The ushers are going to serve. Those of you that will be giving today, thank you for your giving. Internet giving, however you're giving, thank you for your generosity. We need it very much. And as we worship, I'll come back in just a moment and speak a blessing of dismissal.
Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. My God, how great you are. How great you are.
Come on, lift your hands and let's worship him together. Just one more moment in his presence. Hallelujah.
My God, how great you are. How great you are.
Sing it together. Lift your voice to him. Let's worship him for who he is. My God, how great.
My God, how great you are. How great you are.
Thank you, Lord. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord? I want to bless you. Stand everywhere with me and receive the blessing of the Lord. You see my friends here at the front. If you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. I bless you now in Jesus' name. The great power of our beyond God, fill your heart and mind more than ever before. May you be blessed to step to the edge of a new experience and experience everything that the beyond God has for you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I'm so glad we could be together today. Thank you for coming. I love you guys. And if I haven't met you, I'd love to shake your hands. By the way, parents, we're going to be right over here. Pastor Jordan's right over there. Got like 2 minutes to say hello to a friend and then meet us here. We'll hold you 10 minutes. The rest of you, God bless you. You're dismissed. Come for prayer if you need it. God bless you.